We've just declared Jesus Christ our living hope. Did we mean it? Did we really mean that Jesus Christ is our living hope? Have we got emotional about it? Have we allowed our minds to just go through and say, this is really important? And some say yes, and the rest have yet to warm up. Let's see what we can do about warming up today, eh? I don't know about you, as I looked out the weather, I thought it was going to be a nice and warm day, and then I went out and realised it wasn't as warm as it looked. It doesn't look like a coat day, but it is a coat day, and we need to be warm. We're here on Palm Sunday, and thank you, Christine, for reading that passage from John chapter 12, and the coming of Jesus down into Jerusalem, and that Palm Sunday celebration. I wonder what you'd do if Jesus walked in today. If Jesus came down into this place today. You might have seen those videos in that online where a major star suddenly appears in a crowd and the crowd go mad. They go mad with excitement. We have seen the real McCoy. I'm going to pick on our church secretary for a moment just to check she's awake, because I remember I went with her to the Scripture Union 100th anniversary and the real Queen came down and she was so excited to see the real Queen, and the Queen walked right past her. The Queen now or then knew Haley because she'd been past. The excitement of the real Queen coming in. And I wonder what our reaction would be, not if the King came down, but if the King of Kings came into this place. Would we be excited? Yes. Oh. Oh, we don't do excitement. We're Baptists. We leave the excitement for the Pentecostals. If Jesus came here, I'd be excited. If Jesus came into this place, I might just start to become very excited. You see, the question is, what does Jesus actually mean to you? On that first Palm Sunday, they became a bit disruptive in their excitement, because the real Jesus was coming into this place, and the real Jesus was there, just there, right in front of them, and they were excited. They'd heard about what Jesus could do. They had heard about him healing and raising the dead. They'd heard about him casting out demons. They'd even seen him do a picnic for 5,000 with just a takeaway from Boots. Well, it wasn't quite that, but it was like a Boots meal deal, and it was about that amount, and he fed 5,000. Therefore, the people of the New Testament on that Palm Sunday were excited, unlike us. There were celebrations all around. And as we head into Holy Week, as we head from the Palm Sunday celebration to the anointing on Monday of the perfume on Jesus' feet, as we go through the clearing of the temple and we go through all the things that are going to happen, including a corrupt trial and a Good Friday killing and an Easter Sunday rising, are we going to allow ourselves to become involved in the story, in the emotion of the story? Because in the end, the story is good, But we're going to go through some dark times this week. And as we do, are we going to allow ourselves to feel the pain that Christ felt? To see the injustice that happened? You see, Jesus' coming needs to cause a reaction. Jesus' coming needs to cause a reaction. On that Palm Sunday, the majority were, yes, Jesus is coming, and the religious leaders were, he better not upset our plans. How dare he? We need to do something about this. It was a reaction. It was a reaction. Who do you say Jesus is? C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all those great Narnia tales, in his book Mere Christianity says this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he will be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You cannot shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let's not come with any of this patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He never intended to. As Jesus comes down into Jerusalem and travels through to the Easter Sunday, and so this Good Friday, it's time that we decided whether we're going to get passionate about Jesus or not. Are we going to get passionate, or are we going to admit that we're not fully committed? We've got to make a choice. We've got to make a choice. There's a Christian theologian and writer of cookbooks. What a combination. He's American. His name is the Reverend Robert Capon. And he wrote this in one of his books: the most critical issue facing Christians, it's not abortion, sexuality, it's not crime, it's not the multi-faith world, it's not the moral decline, it's not the marriage decline, it's not cohabitation. The most critical issue that's facing Christians today is dullness. We have lost the sense of astonishment in who Jesus was. Christians have become dull. At times the church is dull. And we get worked up about the most unimportant and stupid things. And yet what is most important? We are dull about. The New Testament letters to the churches in Revelation picks this theme up. If you look at the book of Revelation, there's the letters to the seven churches. And I've picked out three. Revelation 3, the church in Sardis. The Spirit says this: you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. What a statement to a church. You've got a reputation for being alive, but you are dead.
Again in Revelation chapter 3 to the church in Laodicea, verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And as Christians, I want to ask us, are we neither hot nor cold? Have we lost the passion of the Palm Sunday celebration, the excitement of the Easter resurrection? Have we lost something about what it means to get fully engaged in our worship and passion for our Lord and Saviour? Or have we become dull? You see, very often as you look at the Christian church, the good news is no longer good news. It's okay news. It's okay. The good news is no longer life-changing. It's life-enhancing. We've dumbed it down. We've poured something and made it what it's not. We've made the gospel one that enhances lives, not captivating them. We see a Jesus who does not change people into radicals, it changes them into nice people. I think the insult the biggest insult we can have is people turn to us, oh, Christians are nice people. The New Testament church, the church of Jesus Christ, was a radical people. It was a people who went out and turned the world upside down, or up the right way, because it was already upside down. It's not about being nice. What happened to the non-nice band of Christianity that turns the world upside down? What happened to the category-smashing, life-threatening, anti-institutional gospel that spread through the first century and was considered by those who were in power as dangerous? Why is the church not thought to be dangerous today? We have a message of transformation of this world, of this community, yet the world is not threatened by us. Because we're nice. We're nice. On that Palm Sunday, the followers of Jesus were seen as a threat. And they were a threat because they were about revolution, putting the world right, putting love back in the center, showing a different way to live. Jesus came and he stood for goodness and righteousness, and the followers did the same. But the 21st century followers of Jesus are just nice. We see the gospel as life enhancing, not changing. What happened to the kind of Christians whose hearts were on fire, who had no fear, who spoke the truth no matter what the consequences, who made the world feel uncomfortable? Or are we too concerned about ourselves? We don't want that kind of Christianity. But we want be safe and dull and not affecting the world at all. Romford Baptist Church this year is celebrating its 90th anniversary, and we've got a number of things to look at and do, particularly around September, as we celebrate that. But over the 90 years, the church has stood for truth and stood for what's right. And I wonder if 90th anniversary could start in us as we hear the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming into our midst, and we ourselves as individuals are going to be different. Dare you be different than the Christianity you have had over the last few years? Dare you be more passionate? You see, I believe that Christ wants us to have a faith that is considered dangerous by the comfortable culture that we have around us. God wants us to have a faith that focuses in on the main thing. A faith that gets excited about the power of the gospel. A faith that puts down pettiness and grumbling, and a faith that needs to get in step with the biggest movement for transformation, the transforming power of the cross. If Christ has not done a total work of transformation in us, then let him start. Put down our battles, put down our grievances, put down our pettiness, and let God be God in us. As he was in Peter and Paul, as he was in the New Testament and the early church in the Acts of the Apostles, the power of the cross truly working through us. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He saves people from themselves. He saves us for eternity. This Jesus who we celebrate was the same Jesus who can heal, and he can bring healing today. The same Jesus who brought peace to the afflicted, and sometimes the afflicted, the peaceful, as they were peaceful about the wrong things. It's the same Jesus who can cast out demons and take away our trouble. He's the same Jesus who can transform hearts and communities. He's the same Jesus and can do amazingly more than all we can imagine. You might have heard me mention that verse before in this church, as we see a God who goes beyond our imagination. Beyond all we can imagine. That Jesus. And we who say we are his followers are called to get 100% passionate for him. To embrace all that he is and has. To fight for him, not against him. To embrace truth and be passionate about his church. To support all that God is doing. You see, the battle against Jesus is a futile and dangerous one. As we read in Revelation, God's judgment is real. God will come and judge the living and the dead. And we need to get passionate about the things of God. And so, as I come into land on this Palm Sunday day, I want to take you in your minds to that King coming down into Jerusalem on a donkey. And I want to ask you again, will you be passionate? Will you stand up for Jesus? Will you let him come into your life It's interesting as you read that passage in John 12 and the Gospels, you see Jesus as he approaches Jerusalem. He's weeping over it because he can see what needs to change. And the Jerusalem that Jesus is coming into is the Jerusalem of your life. And he is weeping over it. He's weeping over it. He's weeping over your anger. He's weeping over your bitterness. He's weeping over the damage you're doing to yourself by the fact you're holding on to battles that are not yours to hold on to. Psalm 46. If you read the end of Psalm 46 from the Good News Bible, this is a great translation of the Hebrew at that point. It says this: stop fighting and know that I am your God. I will be supreme among the nations. I will be supreme over the world. And he will be supreme in us. And so, we have a choice. To continue being dull or to be passionate. Jesus' coming needs a reaction. Jesus' coming needs a reaction. How will you respond today? Is there things in us that Jesus is putting his finger on now and saying, deal with it now? In a moment, we're going to sing a final song. King of Kings, Majesty. We're not going to sing it just for a second. But God of Heaven, living in me. And I've used this metaphor before. But if you imagine your life as a house, how far in will you let Jesus go before he starts to see the mess because you forgot to tidy up? The dishes unwashed. The things you wouldn't want to show anyone in your house. Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Jesus coming into your life. By his Holy Spirit today. What's he going to do? What's he putting his finger on and saying, let's get passionate about this? And I say, Lord, have your way. Jesus says, don't get dull, but be passionate.